Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
On the text page, the 5-hour energy fan line is aiming high on the trade market. I'm hearing the T. Higgins might be in play for the Texans. Oh, yeah, root against the Bengals this weekend. Might get a little T. Higgins action. Maybe they get a little desperate. He's on a franchise tag right now. So, yeah, who knows?
I forgot about all the T. Higgins semi-drama of the offseason.
Did you see there was a video?
And there's been rumors about him which video is this now?
The video, as long as we're talking about the Bengals, like real quick, there's a video. Andrew Whitworth did an interview, like a podcast.
Yeah.
And he did like 6 minutes about his constant negotiations and renegotiations with the Bengals.
I watched like 30 seconds of it. And I'm like, I don't have time for this.
He went for six. I didn't make it to the end, but there was some interesting stuff in there. Like by the third renegotiation, I'm like, all right, I get it. They're really unprofessional to deal with, at least with Whitworth they were.
They're a strange organization. Yeah. They are a really, really weird organization. Not as weird as they used to be.
Yeah.
They used to be incredibly weird. Like, Sean, this is the weirdest thing I can remember was back in the day. You know, the NFL teams, I think it's still this way. Maybe it's changed. But they did I want to say it was a 2-to-1 match on your 401k, whatever was legally allowable, which was a nice chunk of change.
Dude.
For absolutely nothing other than you committing money to your 401k, the NFL would match it 2-to-1.
2-to-1.
And for God knows what reason. On most teams, it had like near 100% utilization.
Yeah.
The Bengals, like nobody was doing it. And to the point where the NFLPA had to figure out, like, what the hell is going on here? Like, the Bengals would try every which way to try to screw you out of money. And, I have no idea how they got away with whatever they were doing to discourage guys from signing up for the 401k.
Dude.
But it was, Jonathan Joseph has told the stories about how they charge you for Gatorade and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've changed. They've gotten a little bit more free spending, but they're still a weird organization.
They're discouraging you for doing it. That's like that should be a union issue if you have a team.
Well,
it should.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how it was all figured out or whatever. It was just very, very odd.
But I would say even if they're not encouraging you to do it, when you have that little usage of a 2-to-1 401k match, like to me, it's malpractice not to send an email out to say, hey guys.
Well, it's even, and this was long before Eric Winston was up there or anything.
Right, and these aren't guys who are like fully educated on financial ramifications.
No, but this is how the meeting goes. The NFLPA meeting where you're, and I don't think it's in a meeting, but where you're trying, well, like back in the day, you'd sign a piece of paper instead of e-signing or whatever. It was the veteran players telling the young guys, sign that paper. Yes.
Right.
You're going to, and people would be like, it was like a $10,000 max and you'd get a 2-to-1 match.
Yeah.
Young guys are like, yeah, but wait a second. So I don't get that money?
I got to wait?
Yes, you do. But it'll be there waiting for you someday after, by virtue of you asking that question, yes. You put that money in your 401k right now, damn it.
Yeah, it's free money.
It's free money.
It's free money, yeah.
But I don't get it now.
Right, no, you got to wait. You got to wait till
Yes, you do. You just can't touch it. Yeah, it's exactly what you need.
It's yours.
Desperately.
It's yours. Kenyon Green. D'Amico Ryans was asked yesterday in his press conference, will Kenyon Green be starting on Thursday against the Jets?
Kenyon is done fine. Kenyon, of course, like I said yesterday, he had some bad plays. A lot of guys had some bad plays, you know, and everybody's asking about Kenyon, and nobody feels, you know, worse about this than Kenyon, right? And nobody, he knows he has to play better. He will play better, and let's go to work. Like, that's what it's about. It's not about everybody trying to figure out, is Kenyon out? Unless Kenyon is ready, he'll be ready to roll. And we won 6 games with Kenyon. Like, we got to keep going.
So this will be interesting. If Jared Patterson had stayed healthy in that game, it might be less interesting because Jared Patterson might for sure be the starter. I guess the big question would be, how ready is Kendrick Green to play, and does it even matter? Is a we're not sure how ready Kendrick Green is better than what Kenyon Green is right
it
now.
Did it felt when Kendrick Green didn't get an opportunity to go in the game despite Kenyon Green having been benched just one series prior, that's when it most felt like, oh, first round pick, all right, oh, he's gonna get that benefit of the doubt, either that or they just are that down on Kendrick Green. And then the question is, all right, well, why is he on your roster? Like, why is he active on game day? If he's that much worse than one of the worst offensive guards, a guy who's playing like one of the worst offensive guards in football right now. Why is he even out there? Other than because he's your gadget fullback at times, which is stupid as well. So, I don't know. I don't know. There's no good answer to that. And I look, you know, D'Amico's trying to put, you know, trying to support Kenyon as much as possible and not try to give any noteworthy clips or anything that are going to filter back to Kenyon. Saying that we won six games with Kenyon, that's not D'Amico. That's not his ethos, you know? Yeah, you guys are you're a mediocre NFL offense right now. To pretend that there aren't any issues that can be improved or anything that needs to get better, that's not, D'Amico doesn't operate that way. So I take that strictly as just him trying not to sell out his guys in public.
I do too. I hate that he's in that spot, you know. And he's, you know, and look, D'Amico's an adult. He chooses his answers. He can answer it any way he wants to. That's his management style, if you will, as he has said many times, is he manages with an air of positivity. Like, he's always going to manage that way. That's who he is. He said it earlier this week. I just hate that, I hate that D'Amico is giving quotes right now that you could put next to quotes. If you cross out the names, you could put them next to quotes from Lovie Smith, and you wouldn't know if Lovie Smith said them or not, you know,
about the positivity.
Right. Yeah, well, you gotta stay positive about these guys who are playing tremendously poor.
I think the big difference is you're 6-2.
Correct.
So you get away with it a little bit more when you're 6-2. Hey, the proof is in the pudding. We're 6-2. But they need to make some improvements offensively. Yeah. I can't think of this team as a Super Bowl team until they look like a Super Bowl caliber offense. It's 2024. Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome when you get that rare one-off. And frankly, this Texans defense is very good, but they're not like the Ravens, the first Ravens Super Bowl team.
No.
You know, they're not the 80 whatever Bears. It's just they're not there yet. To win a Super Bowl with this squad, you would either have to have the defense go from really damn respectable to
great,
out of this league and all-timer. So maybe that happens, or the offense has got to look better than they have in the first half of the season.
Right, right. Or you just have to hit one of those weird parlays where you're winning the turnover battle +3 in all your playoff games.
Or just kind of, in the part we keep forgetting about is, Nico Collins, that guy.
A
deep shot from Nico Collins on the first play of the game goes a long way towards winning the game.
It does.
And there's that element. And Joe Mixon and Nico Collins being on the field at the same time, which we've had very little of, that's another dynamic. And maybe it's as simple as that.
Yep.
It's hard to, obviously, you know, there's a million different scenarios that could happen, but some of it is as simple as, oh, wow, having Nico Collins and Joe Mixon on the field at the same time, that really puts defenses in a bind.
I'm going to go on the record and say I think there's a 50% chance we get Kendrick Green. I think there's a 45% chance we get Kenyon Green, and a 5% chance we get the tightest back to left guard Blake Fisher at right tackle curveball.
Okay.
That some have been asking for, believe I can.
Right.
That's where we are with Kenyon Green, is people are requesting Titus Howard play left guard again.
I don't know. Titus is so much worse as a guard that I can't. I'm trying to figure out, all right, but do I like Titus's time in system and all of that other stuff at left guard compared to just Kendrick Green at left guard? Because Titus, if Titus was a prospect, I'd say, oh yeah, maybe he's got upside as a guard. But Titus is a veteran who I've seen play guard before.
He's got no upside.
I give Kendrick Green a whirl and see what happens.
Yeah. Here was, speaking of pass protection, here was C.J. Stroud. He was asked yesterday, how much of your prep goes into trying to forecast what your pass protection is going to look like?
I mean, it's bullets flying, you know, it's very fast paced. Sometimes, you know, you can see it, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can get away with it, sometimes you don't, you know. So it's like rolling dice. But at the same time, I trust my guys, and I'm not going to, you know, just as much as possible, I'll try to stick in there and, you know, and just, you know, step up in the pocket and make it right, have those minute movements. But, you know, I do a lot of film study on, you know, hots, and, you know, that's kind of the world we live in, is, you know, throwing hot and, you know, trying to, you know, just live on in what we do and not, you know, dictate. Not don't let them dictate what they want us to do. So, you know, and I think I've, you know, tried to, you know, get some more responsibility up there, and I'm hoping the coaches, you know, continue to trust me with that. And but yeah, you know, it's part of the game, and, you know, I gotta, you know, be better, I guess, when it comes to that. And, you know, we all can be better together as one.
Well, and that's where, you know, CJ in the first half of the season on the sum total of it was really good against the blitz until the Packers game, where the Packers didn't blitz that much, but they were really effective with it when they did. And there's a little bit of – he had a throw to Dalton Schultz last week where, all right, Schultz was the hot receiver, Texans got a blitz, and he just hit Schultz immediately for 10 or 15 yards, however long it was. Like, you got to do more of that to get him up off you, you know, to really discourage and to put some fear in the defense about, like, where you are exposed when you're blitzing. And I think there's – CJ talks about how it's a little bit of a gamble. You know, it's a little bit of the roll of dice. Sometimes I think he hangs in there and thinks, well, if the protection holds up, Diggs is going to be open downfield. And I think CJ knows that there's that potential on blitzes to hit deep shots because guys are going to be in man coverage, no safety help, and you've got a chance for a huge explosive play there. But you also got to balance it out with, yeah, but there's also easy money right there against the blitz. Be that quarterback that teams say, ah, crap, we can't blitz this guy.
Yeah.
He's going to, like, one way or the other, he's going to screw us if we blitz him. And just keep him off you a little bit.
Yeah, that was, statistically, that's who he was in his rookie year, man. He killed, like, if you blitz CJ Stroud, he killed you last year.
And so, Nico, look, the presence of Nico is a big part of
huge,
all of it.
Huge,
yeah, you know, Nico is, it's a lot easier to make a blind throw to Nico than it is to anybody else.
True.